Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest installment of There's Always Next Year. My name is Dave. It is December 6th, 2014. Facebook.com/TA Next Year. Thank you, producer John, who's joining me and giving me my own plugs. Twitter at TANY Podcast. We don't post on there so much anymore. I'm joined by producer John, obviously, and my co-host, Joe Babb.
What's going on, America?
I think that's a bit of a stretch.
Might be a little bit of an overstatement.
What's going on, buddies of ours?
Yeah.
I'm hoping by making broad outreaching claims that it'll increase our audience, but...
So, we just got back from some exciting Division II college basketball.
Who will remain nameless.
Well, I mean, we could say who won. We watched the Notre Dame Falcons win. I missed a half-court shot for $500.
By a lot.
Thank you. You didn't need to point that
out.
I
would compare it, because we were talking about video games earlier. I would compare it when you try to attempt an 80-yard field goal in Tecmo Super Bowl.
Come on,
it starts out headed towards the upright, and then you just see it changes a camera angle, and then it just dies.
I mean, it was online.
It was online.
I just left it short. I hadn't touched a basketball for a long time. Get off my back.
So did Morton Anderson when he shot it from 90 yards.
When they asked if I wanted to do it, I was like, you know what? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give it a whirl.
I applaud Dave for getting himself out there.
The best thing was they wanted you to either do the layup, free throw, and three pointer, or the half court shot. The half court shot's by far the best choice.
Well, yeah, and the other one, I don't think I could even make the layup at this point.
But it's $500 for one shot. You had to make three shots, and what do you even
get? And you get a dinner or something.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah,
come on.
So that's not as good.
$500 definitely is the way to go.
It's Saturday, which is odd for us, so you're going to have to bear with us. I mean, we're going to talk a little bit of Browns here, but... It doesn't make much sense to really go in depth because by the time anybody hears this, it will be at the earliest Sunday morning probably, and probably just later on in the week the game will be over. There's no point in going too in depth about it. So I guess we'll start off with that though. Really the big story this week was Johnny Manziel came in at the end of the game last week against Buffalo, led him to a touchdown, then, fumbled, got it called
it was
back
a forward
and not
pass.
A fumble. I don't think it was.
That was not a pass.
Yeah, I don't know what they're... I think the NFL just told them we need Johnny to have another few plays.
The best part of that is he got tackled, he kind of looked at the ball, and then he just laid there. Johnny.
He had no intentions of trying to save that. He just was like, well, I guess they got a touchdown. Oops. But then, what was it, Thursday? Was it Wednesday or Thursday that they finally announced who was going to start this week? And Brian Hoyer, who's looked pretty bad the last three games. I wouldn't even say pedestrian. I would just say downright bad.
Yeah, he's looked pretty awful.
Gets the nod again on Sunday. I understand the thinking, because as we've talked about on this show before, anytime this topic came up, we usually sided with starting Hoyer while you're still, technically in contention, because he's supposed to be the more known commodity, the steadier hand. He's not going to lose games for you, but he hasn't even been playing like that lately. So I'm wondering if anyone here has changed their opinion and would have gone with Manziel this week.
Normally I don't like to be the guy who just sort of goes with the crowd and follow, but the way Hoyer's been playing, I can't see how Johnny Manziel can really play that much worse. I guess maybe, teams could confuse him with different defensive schemes and things like that, but I think if Shanahan puts in a simplistic play, game plan, I just can't see. Hoyer's playing really bad right now.
Oh, yeah. Even with Hoyer out there, it seems to me the Browns run about 15 plays. That's like all they have.
Yeah.
They don't really change it up that much.
I don't see, I mean, if there's a play action pass, I mean, all Hoyer's completions feel like they're play action and the guy's open by 10 yards.
Yeah.
I don't see why Johnny Manziel can't make those completions too.
And the only reason I would, you know, hesitate to start Manziel is because when you saw him on this past Sunday, he's still, if his first read isn't there, he wants to just take off running. And he's, so, okay, you start him and he's injured by halftime. Hoyer's playing anyway.
Dude, true. He's basically like poor Colin Kaepernick.
I'd say more like a poor man's Jeff Garcia.
Well, he's got a way better arm than Jeff Garcia.
Kaepernick legitimately, if he doesn't see his first read, he rolls and starts running. That's what Manziel does, but Kaepernick's done it for a couple more years, so I'd say he's a little better.
And they both just throw it as hard as they can.
He's a poor man's poor man, because Colin Kaepernick has not been a world beater.
No, he's not a world beater at all.
So maybe that would kind of disprove my argument that Johnny should be getting...
Well, what do you have to lose at this point, though? Hoyer's been playing so poorly it's almost like... And that being said, I feel like, you know, Hoyer probably is going to have a pretty short leash. You know,
Indeed.
If he's not playing well, I don't see him coming out in the second half with, you know, starting the second half. I think Manziel will get the call. They're not going to wait as long as they did last week.
Sure. I could even see Johnny being incorporated in the game plan some this week, because they asked Hoyer, like, how do you feel if they did the Johnny package, and he seemed to be like, whatever helps the team win, where before he was vehemently against it. So.
Well, and also, Hoyer's main argument for himself starting was, you know, I'm 10-5 as a starter, and he's not. He's 9-5. Brandon Whedon won that game against Buffalo last year. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah, Brian. I don't know if I like his mannerisms during some interviews. I mean,
right.
It's like, when did Brian Hoyer get the right to be this egotistical about arrogant?
Right, and I think what happens is, you know, these last couple games since they got Hoyer, or since they got Gordon back, he's thrown a couple just terrible interceptions, and they blame him on Gordon, which they might very well be his fault. So at that point, you know, Hoyer has a reason to be pissed off, because he's looking terrible, and it's not because of him.
Sure. Yeah, particularly that one against Buffalo. It looked like if Gordon would have run a slant rather than, like, whatever, he ran a streak, he might have had a completion there.
But I don't understand. Like, when I watched that play, I didn't think he should have cut up the middle, because there was two safeties there.
Yeah,
where he broke to the outside, all he had to do was beat that safety, which he would have. Mm-hmm. You know, Hoyer thought he should have run a slant, but he didn't. I don't know. It's almost like it's both their fault.
Sure. I have a friend who has a philosophy that Josh Gordon is sabotaging Hoyer because he wants Manziel to play. Because Manziel is more Hollywood, and it would bring more attention to the Browns, and consequently Josh Gordon would get more attention.
It's possible. I don't know that Josh Gordon's smart enough to do that.
Seems like a pretty elaborate plan. But, yeah, I mean... I could understand, you know, a guy like that wanting Johnny time and the attention to be on him.
Yeah.
Rather far-fetched.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, Gordon is... He'd be able to make those decisions on the field, like, okay, here's what Hoyer's going to think I'm going to do, and I'm going to do the opposite.
Yeah.
No, because what if Hoyer guesses right?
True. But, I mean, I guess, I mean, his arguments is, you know, Gordon's taking some plays off, things like that, but...
And that interception you're talking about against the Bills, where he looks back, sees that the defender has caught the ball, and just stands there and looks at him. Run after him. Try to knock the ball out from behind. Defenders aren't used to running with the ball in their hands. And instead, he's just like, well...
You got it.
It's like Joel Batonio tackling Devin Hester. Yeah.
Oh, and then also last week when Terrence West fumbled,
They stopped.
And the entire Browns team just stood there and watched watched the Bills run into the end zone for a touchdown.
Literally, my jaw just dropped, and I it almost didn't even feel like a real play. You're like, that actually happened?
Yeah, I was
and
like,
now,
did they blow the whistle? Did I miss it?
Yeah, that was a real play? All right, we're going to lose now? Cool.
Yeah, it was not the strongest game by the Browns last week. And they're sitting at 7-5. I really, with the last four games the way they are, I really don't see any way they make the playoffs.
No way.
You know, they'd have to win three of the games to even have a shot at making it.
Yeah.
And you've got Indy, Cincinnati, Carolina, and Baltimore.
We could knock Carolina off.
You could beat Carolina, but then I don't see them winning against Indianapolis. Right?
No, that's not going to happen.
I mean, the only thing they have going for them is that it's at home, so it's outside, and Indy's used to playing in the dome.
I mean, as good as Indianapolis is, I mean, I think it's a better matchup in some ways than, like, Houston or even Buffalo. But, yeah,
Andrew Luck's just so good.
But, I mean, we've defended the pass fairly well this year. It's been more so stopping the run, which Indy doesn't have a great Trent Richardson.
Yeah, they've got Boom Heron now.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Gerg Booms, is missing again this episode. We're gonna have to get him back somehow.
Although with Tyrus West's fumbleitis, I wouldn't mind signing Gerg Booms to plow for some goal line carries.
Yeah, Crowell is questionable this week.
Yeah, the Crow
hurt his hip. That's a big blow. Now that you've cut Ben Tate.
Yeah. There was talk of West being inactive because of his fumbleitis, so
yeah, well,
now we're back
to happen.
Thomas Clayton and Chris Obanaya type guys.
Yeah, oh, I can't even remember the guy's name that we have as our backup if Crowell doesn't play. We signed him up the 49ers practice squad.
Oh, jeez. Not
so,
this again.
You know, they're a winning organization.
Producer John's trying to dig up this information for us, but
it's tough.
He's the best in the business, but right now he's on the clock and he's not coming through in a timely manner. No.
Ah, I'm sorry, Joe.
Too much Jaeger.
Hey, it happens.
All right. So I guess, all right, we're having some technical difficulties here. Hopefully this works out all right, but whatever. We're going to go into our football picks here because we don't have any reason to go in-depth into the Browns-Colts game this week. So, we lost a week of picks. I should say I lost a week of picks. I don't know what week it was. I believe it was week 12 because I have week 13. And so here are the standings through 12/13 weeks. We have John in first place at 31-17. Gerg is in second at 25-23. Joe is at 24-24. And Dave is in the cellar at 21-27. Last week, Joe went 3-1. John and Gerg went 1-3. And I went 0-4. So that's great.
Woo, Dave!
It's not the first time I've done it, and it won't be the last. So, we're going to start off this week's picks, as we start off every week's picks, with the Browns game. Indy at Cleveland. Cleveland +3. Joe.
I'm taking the Colts, just like I picked against the Browns last week. It's another week where it's just a no-brainer to pick against the Browns.
I agree. I am also taking the Colts. I don't see how the Browns are going to stop their offense, and 3 points just isn't enough. If it was a touchdown, and I mean, if you're getting a touchdown at home, that's bad. But if it was a touchdown, I would think about taking the Browns. But I got to go with Indy here. John.
I agree with you, but I can't not take the Browns, so I'm going to go with the Browns.
All right, so John
Hoyer
takes the Browns.
Hoyer hopefully plays okay.
Has John taken the Browns every single
every
week?
Every
time. Okay.
Every
time. Yeah, last week was the first time you didn't.
So you're 31-17. Think how good your record would be.
No, the Browns have been very good against
this
year.
They cover the spread pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I believe they were 5-6-0. Against the spread before they finally lost one. When they played Jacksonville was the first game they lost against the spread. And then even then, they've still done well against it since then. They're doing great against the spread. So picking them has been the way to go. That's why I'm in last place, because I've been picking against them you know, not every week, but somewhat regularly since week one. All right, game two. We've got Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Cincinnati minus three. Joe.
Yeah, this division has been so close the whole year. I just think it's going to keep being close. Cincinnati's kind of pulled away a little bit. They got a game and a half lead. I think Pittsburgh's going to bring them back to the pack and upset them in Bengaltown, in Paul Brown Stadium.
Wow. All right, so Joe takes Pittsburgh. I am going to take Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's kind of back on track now. They're playing at home. This is a must-win game, kind of for both teams, but, you know, it's not a primetime game, so odds are Andy Dalton will be okay. So, yeah, I'm going Cincinnati here.
I just see it's a big game. Andy Dalton normally chokes in big games, so I'm going Pittsburgh.
That's not a bad call, but
it's not in prime time though.
That's what I based my pick on. It wasn't in prime time.
His pale self does not do well when the lights are on. I think the lights are on right now, so I just don't imagine him doing well.
All right,
Raggedy Andy.
Exactly.
Game three. Kansas City at Arizona. Arizona plus one. Arizona getting a point at home. The offense has been struggling since Carson Palmer went down.
Yes. I never really was a full believer in Arizona. I mean, they got some nice pieces, but and especially with the quarterback situation, I still think the Chiefs are a good squad. Andy Reid is a solid football coach.
Well, let me also point out that the Chiefs lost to the Raiders 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, NFL is it's up and down. I mean, but yeah, give me the Chiefs. I think home field is overrated in the NFL. It's not like college where home field makes a big difference. Give me the Chiefs.
Well, I think there are some teams. I think there's some teams where home field matters. I don't think Arizona is one of them.
No.
You're talking Kansas City. You're talking Seattle. You're talking...
Those people are too busy chasing rattlesnakes.
St. Louis, the Saints, the Falcons. Like, dome teams and then Kansas City are basically... That's, like, where you get a big home field advantage.
Cleveland in December?
No, because the Browns aren't any good. So it doesn't... If they were good, yeah, that would be a big home field advantage. But, you know, they've struggled for the past decade and a half.
So what you're saying is it's bad that I always pick Cleveland?
It's worked for you this year. This right. is like the 1 year that it was a good strategy.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm going to agree with Joe. I'm going to take Kansas City here just because I don't know that Arizona can score enough points to win. They've got a good defense, but both teams kind of have good defenses. I'm going to go with Arizona or Kansas City. I'm sorry. It should probably be close. Probably won't be a high scoring game. I would take the under if we were betting on that.
What if the under were five?
Well, then I'm going to take the over, but it's not. It's probably right around 40.
Sorry, I like to question things.
All right, John.
I'm going to go with Kansas City. If Carson Palmer was there and Larry Fitzgerald, who is a fantastic wide receiver, just throwing that out there. Hey, Mikey, hey, Diff.
So you're taking... Travis Kelce and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Exactly. I will be taking...
the disappointment that is Travis Kelce.
No, he's not disappointed.
No, he's been garbage.
He's going to do great this week.
Yeah, because I have him on my bench.
The Cleveland Heights alum.
So, he's going to tear up. Kansas City, he's going to do great. Yeah, with no Larry Fitzgerald, that's their core. If you lose your core... You're not going to win.
I lost my core years ago. Very flabby now.
See? So, I mean...
Joe's not winning anything.
I know he's not winning. He's not going into a game and winning. So I go with Kansas City. Just like, I mean, if Joe's Arizona, I don't know. It is what it is. Go Kansas City.
All right. And then we've got the game of the week, as far as I'm concerned. Seattle at Philadelphia.
Two bird teams. Something's got to give.
Philadelphia is giving up 2 points in this one at home. Joe, who you got?
Yeah, I would just say never underestimate the heart of a champion. I've been taking the Seahawks in spite of an up and down season a lot this year, and I'm gonna ride. I'm gonna take four road teams this week. I'm taking Richard Sherman and the Hawks.
All right. Well, I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I've been waiting all year for, you know, Philadelphia kept winning, but they weren't convincing about it. It was like they're always coming back at the end of the game. They didn't look very good doing it, but the last couple weeks they have. I kept waiting for Philadelphia to peak. I felt the same way about Seattle. Seattle started off the year, I mean, they beat the crap out of Green Bay, but then they've been kind of hit and miss since then. I'm taking the Eagles at home. Seattle is not as good on the road. They're not as good on the East Coast. And then Philadelphia has been peaking in my estimation, so I think they take this game. John.
You know what? The Dave man, even though he's in last place, I totally agree with what you're saying. So I'm going Philly. I think LeSean McCoy is going to have a good game against Seattle. They don't play well when they travel like far distances.
Right.
So I really do think Philly can. It's one.
Yeah, didn't they lose to Carolina this year?
Yeah. So you have -2. It's a little different on what I have in front of me, but
because those spreads that you're looking at cut off on Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
I have today's spread.
Okay. I still am going to go with Philly. I think LeSean McCoy should have a good game. He played pretty well last week. Hopefully he gets me out of 12th place in fantasy football. Right. I mean, with no Larry Fitzgerald, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think it's going to be LeSean McCoy. So I'm believing in LeSean time.
All right. So that ends our football talk for the week. Yeah, I mean, well, I guess we can briefly talk about the Cavs. They're starting to turn it around, but I feel about the Cavs, this winning streak that they're on, except for last night was a nice win against Toronto. But other than that, they were kind of beating bad teams by, you know, coming back on them in the fourth quarter. They were kind of playing like the Eagles. So we're still waiting for the Cavs to hit full stride, but it looks like there's signs of it on the horizon. It's a little earlier than I estimated. I thought it was going to be, you know, around Christmas they were going to start really peaking, you know, take off, get, you know, a top three seed kind of nailed down, and then coast into the playoffs. So hopefully they're just kind of getting some not-so-great wins right now, yeah. And then they are going to peak, have that run of like 18 out of 20 or 20 out of 25, and then down the road you coast into the playoffs. Maybe they sign Ray Allen. He said he's not going to sign with anybody until February, which is it's just nice. He's going that's like what Roger Clemens did for a couple of years. He signed with guys at the All-Star break.
The Rocket Man. Did the Indians like almost get him, and then he just said he didn't want to play in Cleveland?
Right, and it never really worked out.
Then he went to Toronto, which is like, you know, I mean, that's not even, I don't know.
Won a couple of Cy Youngs there, did some steroids. It was great.
I really like what the Cavs, like, they kind of switched off. It's not Kyrie really running the offense anymore. It's more
right.
LeBron.
He's playing off the ball
better.
Good point. Yeah, no, I agree with you, John. I think it's been. I think the whole dynamic I was frustrated with. I think we talked about after like the first game. Kyrie, I thought was just kind of playing selfish, and he's still scoring a lot of points, but he's just playing really, really well. And I think he's being a little more unselfish. And the fact that he's just not naturally like a distributor like he should be. So playing off the ball is perfect for him. And he's been playing really good.
Right. And he's actually been trying on defense as well, which is nice to see. This show has been for years critical of Kyrie Irving. But we will give him his due when it's merited. And I think right now he's playing some really good basketball. I still think they need to find a way to, you know, incorporate Kevin Love into the offense a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get him some touches down low.
He has actually been getting it, like, at the beginning of the games. He'll get the ball early.
Yeah.
At the end of the games, though, it's basically LeBron and Kyrie kind of going back and forth. But I do like that they're putting him in the post a little more because he has game down there.
Right, and he was basically just standing around shooting three-pointers early in the year. And as I've said in the past, you can get a lot of guys to do that.
Yeah, it's
and
a
you
sort
aren't
of
paying them. You aren't paying them the max. So hopefully they figure out how to get Kevin Love fully integrated into this offense and make it so you couldn't just throw. You know, I don't. I was gonna say Channing Frye, but I don't want to get carried away.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Channing Frye and someone else combined. If you give them
some guy like Channing Frye,
no, a guy that's a better rebounder.
Fair enough.
Channing Frye and Reggie Evans. Throw them out there, and they'll put up Kevin Love's numbers in the same amount of time. I don't know.
You can't fuse those guys into one. But.
No. They're not. But they're not gonna. Neither one of them is playing 40 minutes.
Oh, a platoon.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Indian style.
Yeah.
Platoon every position.
Jason Michaels, David Alucci type.
Right. Or the new version of that with David Murphy and Ryan Rayburn. Every time they try to do that, it just doesn't work out well.
Not at all.
So, you know what? Let's transition into the Indians here. The offseason is in full swing for most teams. The Indians are napping, I guess. I don't know.
Seamless transition.
Hey, we brought up the Indians. Whatever.
Transition master.
The Indians, they haven't done anything this offseason.
Like usual.
Yeah. They're in heated talks right now, supposedly, to trade for Brandon Moss from the Oakland A's, who is a left-handed, above-average power first base slash outfielder, because we don't have those already.
Okay, here's the thing. Do we get rid of Swisher? We have to, right? You have to.
If you can get, I don't think they can get anybody
anything.
To take him.
If you can get anything for him, you have to get rid of him.
There was whispers a couple of weeks ago that they were talking about trading Swisher for Ubaldo.
I'm okay with that.
I would
I'm
be
legitimately
fine
agree
with that too,
that.
But I don't. I think the Orioles might have had second thoughts about that.
Yeah,
wait a minute. The Indians are willing to trade for this guy. There must be some kind of catch to it. Oh, we're getting Nick Swisher. That's the catch.
If they're getting Brandon Moss, I think there has to be some sort of a plan to get rid of Swisher. They'll probably. I would think it's going to be some sort of a bad contract for bad contract, or they'll just have to eat a lot of this.
Oh, they're going to have to eat unless they're bringing back a terrible contract. But at that point, you're kind of in the same exact place you were.
Yeah.
Unless they get somebody like Ubaldo,
you could say it's better
to
gamble.
I think they eat it, right?
They're going to have to.
It would be better to gamble on a pitcher, I'd say.
Especially somebody like Ubaldo, who our pitching coach had success with.
Exactly.
And, okay, so maybe he doesn't come back around. He's thrown in the bullpen. He's on mop-up duty.
If he's the fourth of his starter, though, does it matter?
If he's going out there with a 7 ERA, yes, that does matter. You don't want
He's not going to have that, though.
He could.
Well, he did in Baltimore.
I understand, but our, he had success with him.
Yeah, but that also might have been because he was in a contract year.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Boy, what do you know? The second half of contract year, Ubaldo's all of a sudden throwing strikes again.
All right, what we need to do, we legitimately have to get rid of Bourne. We have to get rid of Swisher.
I don't think you have to get rid of Bourne.
What does he do? He doesn't do anything positive.
He hasn't been healthy. You hope that he comes back healthy. He hasn't been a terrible...
I wouldn't
lead
think he
off
does
hitter.
Nothing positive. I mean, yeah.
But the problem is he's not even the best center fielder on the team.
Exactly. Bourne is better.
So throw him in left field.
But does his ego allow him to do that?
If it doesn't, then yeah, you got to get rid of him. But no, I can't imagine many teams are going to trade for Michael Bourne and think, all right, we've got our center field locked down. He's lost a step, and he hasn't... He could be a decent center fielder again if he realizes that he lost a step because he's trying to play the ball exactly like he used to.
There's a reason the Indians were able to sign these guys 2 years ago. Why nobody was willing to give them the third and fourth years.
Yeah, the problem was this was supposed to be the year that Bourne fell off. He fell off 2 years ago. So what's going to happen now if this was when he was supposed to get bad?
All right, if we do happen to find a way to get rid of Bourne and Swisher, can we move Brantley over and does Kipnis play the outfield?
Well,
the problem with Kipnis is he hits 215, but he can't be really
I don't think
really Kipnis
moves to the outfield no matter what.
He loses a lot of value from not, you know, there's a lot more value if you can hit like that at second base.
Right. If they lose Bourne and Swisher, I think Chisenhall makes the transition to the outfield. If they trade for Brandon Moss, you know, he'll play the outfield.
Who plays third base if Chisenhall makes the?
You've got Aviles. You've got. They have a guy in AAA.
Giovanni Urshela.
Yeah, they've got him. I mean, it obviously would not be a position of strength, but even with Chisenhall there, it's not. He's not very good in the field.
No.
So you hide him out in left field and hope for the best. But even that, you know, it would be a platoon situation because he's not really going to play against lefties, and I don't think he's going to hit all that well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think you want Aviles playing every day. He gets exposed. I mean, I think it's sort of like, you know, we're plugging one hole and creating a hole in another. And
true. I don't see them getting rid of both Bourne and Swisher. I don't think it's even possible.
No. I think Bourne will be on this roster.
Bourne will be on the team.
Bourne is bad, but you can win with him as your center field.
Well, he's also bad, but not terrible.
He's bad, but
Swisher
not terrible.
Swisher is terrible.
Swisher
can't hit the ball at all.
Once Swisher went out last year, we started playing well. Because he was a complete disaster in the field, no matter where they put him. Mm-hmm. And then he had two knee surgeries, and they're like, oh, we're going to move him back to the outfield now. That makes sense. He couldn't move enough to play first base, but we're going to throw him in right field now.
Yeah, he's got nothing left. I like Jose Ramirez, what I saw of him. I like the element of like speed he provides with a bunch of just like lumberjack guys who can't run, like Swisher and
yeah.
Santana and Gomes.
Well, so. They've also got Zach Walters, who they traded Cabrera for last year.
He has some pop. I mean,
he can play third base. He can play shortstop. He's basically Mike Aviles with more power.
Yeah.
So we try and put Santana at first.
Santana's going to play first.
Okay.
He actually graded out pretty well at first base last year after he moved back there. So it's going to be him and... you know, you'd probably get Moss playing there every once in a while, and they would DH Santana. I don't think Santana's really going to catch anymore.
I honestly think that James Ramsey guy who we got for Masterson will be good. Cardinals prospects are always good. He'll be at least, like, above what we have.
What is he an outfielder?
Yeah, he's an outfielder. Yeah, AAA, and he's just, like, solid.
Who made this depth chart for Yahoo, by the way? They have Michael Brantley in right field. They've got Mike Aviles as the starting shortstop. Chisenhall is the starting first baseman.
I think they got it all backwards.
Yeah, they flipped all the positions
around. All except second base and shortstop.
What are they doing?
They're just they're trying to save on the budget and hiring some high school kids.
Yahoo depth chart maker, you're bad at your job. I'm saying it right now.
Boo.
But if Brandon Moss is the big... get for this offseason, how does that make you feel?
My other problem is our bullpen was used so much last year.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Can they be good this year? Like, that everybody talks about that's our strength. When you overuse, like,
well,
2 years in a row.
In the last month of the season, Brian Shaw was awful.
I would actually mix it up. I think Shaw's going to be awful this year. I would try to trade Shaw.
Do too.
I think Allen's got one more good year left. I would keep him.
Hopefully.
I would try to move Shaw, and because he should have value, a lot of value right now.
Yeah, and when he goes out there and has like a 5.5 ERA,
yeah, he's not going to have any value.
It's not going to help.
Even, I mean, move Szczepanski. I mean, I'd be fine with all that stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. And even with the rotation as it stands now, most of those guys don't stand to go deep into the game. You know,
yeah.
Salazar is not, he doesn't pitch deep into games. He throws too many pitches. Carrasco, who knows?
You know,
if we can get Carrasco from that stretch at the end of the year last year, great.
That's the thing is, other than Kluber, I think we'll be good. We got guys who could like revert back. They're like the Ubaldo types. They can be like lights out or just awful.
And what's scary about Kluber is that the past season that he had kind of came out of nowhere, and we've talked about this. Like, he has a chance to regress as well.
He'll
not to be
not
he's
to
not
be
gonna
bad,
be terrible,
but
But, you know, he wasn't really supposed to be anything more than a number three starter.
He could revert into being like a two or a three starter rather than a one.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you've really got to hope that Carrasco's pitching well. Salazar, one of Bauer. Either Salazar or Bauer takes that step. You know,
yeah.
Bauer wasn't bad last year. He was inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
He threw too many pitches. You know, he's got to stay around the strike zone. But I still contest that he's got the best stuff on the team.
Oh, yeah.
If he can learn how to use it effectively, he could be a number one starter. Carrasco, he showed what he could do last year if his head's on straight. And
yeah.
I find it hard to believe that it was just, you know, oh, he doesn't pitch out of the windup anymore, so he's good now. Those things tend to work for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and then especially once the off season hits, when they come back, it's almost like, okay, that gimmick doesn't work anymore.
We
have to find something permanent.
I think his slider got a little better throughout that. He can throw that for strikes now, but yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm all in on Carrasco. I think, I mean, TJ House, they're counting on him. I like how he's a lefty to mix him in, but I don't think he's more. I mean, like Aaron Laffey had like one exceptional year. I could see TJ House just being.
Would you take a shot on a 1-year contract for Justin Masterson?
Oh, I mean, I would. It depends on what. I mean, it depends on how much money Masterson's commanding.
My guess would be you're probably looking at something around $7 million with incentives that could pay him up to, you know, 11 or 12.
Yeah, I mean,
I think I would take that risk just because even if he's not if he's not effective as a starter, you can throw him in the bullpen.
Exactly.
And you're gonna you can throw him in the back end of your bullpen.
And you know
he's
he'll be lights out against
righties. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, and I think there's a level of comfort in Cleveland with, you know, Francona, and I think just being home will, you know, hell, I mean, I know he had a bad year for us last year, but I think I would be all for that.
With Bauer's stuff, can he finally figure it out?
Well, that's hopefully his name is Callaway, the pitching coach. Hopefully Callaway can straighten him out. I mean, he's done it with Kluber. He did it with Carrasco. Well, actually, I think they gave a lot of the credit for Carrasco to Kevin Cash, the now departed bullpen coach.
I think McAllister sort of got a ceiling on him, too. I mean, I'm not sure how great his
stuff is. Well, McAllister, apparently, once they moved him to the bullpen last year.
He was throwing really hard in the
bullpen. Yeah, he started throwing like 97.
Yeah.
Because they were like, just go out there and throw it as hard as you can.
I would almost trade Shaw for like a number three starter who's like reliable and just move.
I don't think you can trade Shaw for a number three starter.
Yeah. I mean, teams value really, really good bullpen guys. I mean, some teams might consider Shaw a close.
Yeah, but how come? But is it really possible that we all look at Shaw and go, "We know how this story ends," and everyone and there's a baseball executive that doesn't?
Yeah,
he's been really good for 2 years, but yeah, I mean,
but he fell apart at the end of last season, and just from watching the Indians, we've been through this. You know, we went through it with Steve Carsey. We went through it with Rafael Betancourt, Rafael Perez. These guys get overworked, and then they're bad for the whole next year. Vinny Fastano.
Yeah. Some guys have picked up the pieces, though. I think Betancourt had some good years in the Rockies.
He kind of would alternate good and bad because it would he'd get overused. Then the next year he'd suck, so he wouldn't pitch so much. The year after that, his arm was rested, so he'd pitch well again. And then he would suck the following year.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm kind of scared with Shaw and Cody Allen that they just got overworked last year. You know, Allen seems to have a little bit more of a live arm. Hopefully he's okay.
I'd be for trading Cody Allen, honestly. I mean, if he has value, but. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the secret's out. People know that, like, you know, first basemen are going to, like, regress at age 32 and that, like, bullpen guys are going to, like, burn out after, like, 3 years. I mean, people in baseball are getting smarter now.
It's like normal humans now that test for different things.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, I don't know how much trade value Shaw has. He might bring you might be able to get a mid-level prospect or two for him.
Yeah, you probably know, not.
You might be able to get you could get like a guy that's starting in double or triple A, but not a you can't get a proven major league
but I
starter.
I think
for
to be
him.
A good franchise in a small market, you have to like see regression before it happens.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what the A's are trying to do with Brandon Moss, honestly, is they're trying to pawn him off, steal one guy off of our minor league system that they think is going to actually end up being really good.
And yeah, that's the one thing. Like, I haven't really heard who the Indians are supposed to be giving up in this trade. I keep hearing the Indians are going to trade for Brandon Moss.
I mean, one of the rumors is that it's going to be Joey Wendell, it would actually be a possession of depth. He's like a second baseman in Double A. He had a bad year last year, but he was like tearing up the minors in Single A. But I mean, we're really, really deep on middle infield prospects. Yeah. So I mean, at best, he's just going to be some scrappy like middle infielder. There was talk they might want Jose Ramirez. I don't think that's going to be who it is. I personally would not want Jose Ramirez for Brandon Moss.
Well, I don't think the Indians are very high on Jose Ramirez.
I don't think they are either.
When they talk about him, they go, oh, well, he projects to be, you know, a utility guy. He's 21 years old and he made it to the major leagues.
Yeah.
How do you project that? How do you even know how that projects when most guys don't make it to the majors by that point? They're like, oh,
at worst, it's
he's
nice.
Kind of hit his peak already.
It's nice to have him because he's versatile. He can fill in positions. He's got speed, so you can have him as a pinch runner. I mean, he's just a good guy to have on a roster, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's why I was kind of confused by their re-signing, or they picked up the option for Aviles. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Jose Ramirez, who basically does the same thing. Mm-hmm. You've also got Walters, who does the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, how many of these guys are you going to have that don't really have a position?
Yeah.
You know, they're not quite good enough to play every day. You know, the Indians have these visions of Walters that if they play him enough, he's going to hit 30, 35 home runs. The problem is he's probably going to hit like 210 doing it and striking out constantly.
Yeah, we found that out the hard way with Mark Reynolds and Russell Brandon.
And so you can't have a guy like that as your shortstop for the most part.
I would agree.
Like, you could throw him at third, I guess.
Yeah. But no, actually, Hoynsey's reporting that trade, it's going to be someone not on the 40-man. So, and he's saying it's going to be a one-for-one swap. So, probably a minor leaguer for Brandon Moss.
Wow. That's kind of getting him on the cheap, I would say.
Yeah, you probably
he's going to go to arbitration unless the Indians can make an agreement with him. He's supposed to make about $7 or $8 million this year, which... I mean, Brandon Moss is looking to, best case scenario, putting up those numbers that I just talked about for Zach Walters, where he hits about 30 home runs and hits, you know, 210, strikes out a lot.
Yeah, he's...
Although he's put up, you know, multiple 20-plus home run seasons in Oakland. That's hard to do in Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland's
you know,
a big...
If you're coming to Cleveland, that's a little bit more hitter-friendly.
Yeah, I mean, for 2 years, 2 years left of arbitration, I mean, it's worth rolling the dice. I mean, at the absolute worst, he's Swisher, I guess. But
Swisher for cheaper.
For cheaper.
Like, better Swisher.
Yeah.
So
that's not saying much.
That's
better Swisher. Swisher can still be plenty bad.
Moss is a typical Billy Beane guy. For as low as his batting averages, he's a high on base percentage guy. He played for Terry Francona in 2008 in Boston, so those two young guys are familiar. So I don't know. I'm okay with it for a minor.
Yeah, I'd be fine with the trade as long as we don't give up a major.
I think it would either be Joe Wendell or Ronnie Rodriguez, another one of our prospects, in which I'm okay with either one.
Yeah, that's fine. I really would not, because now that when you mentioned it, I had heard Jose Ramirez's name floated out there, and I was like, really? You're going to give him up?
It's going to be someone not on the 40-man, so.
Okay, so hopefully that's how it goes down, and then the Indians find a way to move Swisher and maybe actually sign somebody. Who knows?
That'd be great.
I don't think it'll
happen. I'd love signing someone.
Well, they're pretty bad at it, actually.
Yeah.
But, hey, they keep their jobs somehow.
Yeah.
Well, come on. We got Terry Francona to come in and manage this team. That's not a player.
He's an award-winning manager, though.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
I go to the park. I go to the park just to watch him chew bazooka gum.
And make those calls to the bullpen the same guys every game.
And talk to Jason Giambi.
Yeah.
He really likes him.
Yeah, is Giambi going to be on the team next year?
I think he is.
I think he's drawing like interest from some other teams.
Good, let him have it.
He's still trying to play. It's like, just become a manager.
He wants to be a manager, nobody will let him because they want him to be a hitting coach or something first, and he refuses to do that. He's like, no, I don't want to be a hitting coach. I want to be a coach. And if I can't be a coach, then I'm just going to keep playing.
Yeah.
In your face.
Yeah.
I just can't believe anybody would like let that guy play another year. I mean, he had a great 2013.
I can't believe anybody would let that guy be their manager.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I don't think, when I think of former or active players who could be managers, I'm not like, Jason Giambi. Yeah. He's going to be taken seriously.
Yeah. Like, hey guys,
he's gonna give him protein shakes.
Yeah, that's what I like. Yeah.
You gotta find a vein.
The first time a player has a disagreement with him, he's just gonna be like, "Yeah, you did steroids, and that's why you were good. So I don't care what you're saying because you didn't actually know how to play baseball."
In fairness to him, though, I feel like he's a guy who would be really good. Maybe not as much power, but really good without steroids. Like. Bonds would have been great without steroids. Yeah. Manny
well, Bonds
great.
Was great without steroids.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's like, I wouldn't, like, discount their greatness just because they're cheaters, but, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, do you think if no one was on steroids, they kind of, everybody would have, like, the same kind of numbers, maybe just toned down a notch?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, don't know if that's how it would actually
You think
work.
About baseball now and just it's so different. Like, nobody can
it's
hit
so
for power.
Boring.
It is so boring. It was so much better than that. Then.
I know.
I wish they would just let people be on steroids again.
That's our official show stance. Is that I feel steroids shouldn't even be, like, allowed. They should be required. This is, if you're going to play a
It was getting
sport,
ridiculous there for a while. Like, guys would make great pitches and they'd, like, break guys' bats and they'd still, like, go out of the ballpark.
Yeah, but that was fun.
He broke his bat. Oh, my God, that ball's gone.
Now it's a guy breaks his bat on a 92-mile-an-hour fastball.
Goes to the pitcher.
He pops out to the second base.
I feel like there's so many bouncers to the second baseman in baseball anymore. Everything's just a bouncer.
Yeah, and let's also not forget that the pitchers were on steroids, too, so they were throwing really hard. Now it's like, oh, he's throwing 94, and these guys can't catch up to it.
Yeah.
Good old Rocket Clemens, baby.
Yeah.
That kept his career going.
He loved steroids, and he did so much better because he was taking them. I don't get why you would want to, you know, outlaw that. It makes them better at their jobs. All right. So.
Here we go.
Because it's Saturday and we didn't have really reason to talk about the Browns, we're going to veer off the Cleveland sports trail here, and we're going to talk a little bit of, I would say pop culture, except that this is all going to, we're going to be mostly talking about things that are older. It's not really, you know, ripped from the headlines. But we figured we would talk about our favorite sports movies. Because, you know, I think it's fun when we... It's still going to be sports related, but it's not quite on topic with Cleveland sports. And we tend to enjoy doing those segments. So, John, I would say, is our resident movie expert.
I have a lot of them.
Yeah, he has a lot of them. He's seen probably the most. You found a list here of, what is it exactly?
The 101 top sports movies.
101 top sports movies. So we're going to list them one by one for all you people listening at home. We're going to list them and discuss. So this episode is going to be 12 hours
long.
Actually, it would be mostly me going, I haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it.
So shockingly, Dave has not seen a lot of the great sports movies.
The top, I haven't seen all the way through any of the top three on this list, which are in order, 1 through 3, Bull Durham, Raging Bull, and Field of Dreams. I've seen probably half of Bull Durham. I haven't seen any of Raging Bull. And I've seen about half of Field of Dreams, but I do know how it ends, so I don't need
and
to
I
watch
And I think not seeing Field of Dreams is a travesty.
That makes me sad,
That movie
dude.
Is emotional. I mean, you should, I mean, you, it's the, I mean, Dave's dad's upstairs at our studio. I mean, you literally should, like, go grab your dad and sit down on the couch and make a bowl of popcorn and
watch
that
Field
one
of
together.
Dreams, Dad. We got Darth Vader's voice talking. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
That's insane.
I've heard it's good.
That's legitimately insane to me. Like, I've seen that so many times just growing up. Like, that was my sports version of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah. I've seen Field of Dreams probably 10 times.
I mean, I've seen Basketball a lot of times. But I've kind of a sports
movie. I love that movie. That
yeah, I mean, great. Basketball I've probably seen like 100 times. So.
Yeah, that
we're all on
awesome.
The same page there.
It's highly underrated. Even the people that were in it hate it. But I love it. I think it's great.
How can you not think Basketball?
Although I feel like if I saw it right now for the first time, I'd be like, this isn't so good. I think it was like I was at that right age. You know, the same way with like, you know, another, I guess it's a sports movie, like Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
If I saw Happy Gilmore now for the first time, I'd probably think it wasn't terrible, but yeah. I wouldn't love it. I'd be like, this is kind of stupid.
Like all Adam Sandler movies. Yeah,
every Adam Sandler. Like, because I think that's the thing, like Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, I love those movies.
Yeah.
And then it like just keeps getting worse. But are the movies actually getting worse, or are we just getting older?
Yeah, I think by the time we got to The Waterboy, which was like 98, like I was like, yeah, that was all right. But like Adam Sandler, this has got to get old. That was kind of like stupid.
Right.
I was like, it's got the fods in it. I guess that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah, I think The Waterboy was like, I just stopped seeing his movies at that point.
Shooter McGavin, I think, still would have been good.
Yeah, Shooter would have been good. But I don't think I would have been like, hey, this movie rules. I would have been like, hey, here's another Adam Sandler movie. Great.
I think most of America's starting to get that like that now. Like that. What's that one where he's like dressed up as like the girls?
Jack and Jill.
Yeah, Jack
plays his own sister.
That was supposed to be horrible.
For a while, he was like making like more serious movies like Punch Drunk Love. They're like, oh, Adam Sandler is transitioning and reinventing himself. And they're just like, no,
never mind.
He's still Adam Sandler.
Now he's making that movie where he has Brooklyn Decker and Jennifer Aniston fighting over him.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, it'd be great to be able to make your own movies and cast the people
just
in
it. Just go with it.
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
That's it, but like, in what world?
He's
not Adam Sandler, like, if he's playing himself, like, hi, I'm super 100 millionaire Adam Sandler, yeah. Maybe then he's got those chicks fighting over him. But if he's just some schlub didn't he have like two kids in that movie? He's not getting two hot chicks to fight over him. He's Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all grew up with the What the Hell Happened to Me album, and it was awesome.
Oh, it was so good.
And it was
And what was the other one? He had two albums that came out close together, and they were both, oh, They're All Gonna Laugh at You.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was the first one, and What the Hell Happened to Me was the second one. They were both awesome. And then he put out a third one, and I heard part of it, and I was like, this isn't good anymore.
Yeah.
Hypnotist, fantastic.
The Hypnotist rules. Every once in a while, I just have to listen to that, even though it's like 8 minutes long. But it's always funny. I've never not laughed at it.
That's you, it's not me. Or my receptionist.
So yeah, YouTube that at home if you're listening and are unfamiliar. But yeah, back onto sports movies. You know, I guess we threw a couple in there. Happy Gilmore, Basketball.
A League of Their Own, number five. That seems high to me.
That's very high. It has one of the best lines with, there's no crying in baseball! There's no crying in baseball!
And it's got, you know, Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell.
It's got Rosie O'Donnell before she was like universally renowned as the most disgusting person ever. They're like, oh, Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah, she like was in that Flintstone movie. I guess she's like okay looking.
And Gina Davis, who's like 6'4", towering over everybody.
Yeah.
She hit the ball well.
And what's that girl from that? Wow, what's
Tank Girl?
Tank Girl.
Lori Petty.
Yeah. Lori Petty.
Yeah.
See, it all went down.
Lori Petty was like the opposite. She was like the female version of Adam Sandler in the early 90s classic Point Break.
Yeah.
Where she had Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves fighting over her.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah, Lori Petty. Yeah. I'm like A League of Their Own. I was like, she's like cute in a really, really, really weird type of way.
Yeah.
But then she got made more movies, and I was like, yeah, she can't be a lead female role. Like,
I'm also 9.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm 9. A kind of a kind of cute girl who can pitch, sign me up. This will be awesome. We'll be able to hang out and play baseball together.
We would play wiffle ball at the field.
But once you got to like 16, you're like, no, thank you.
Dave's never seen Hoosiers.
I've never seen Hoosiers either.
Honestly, I feel like just pulling down a screen right now and just blocking, putting a seatbelt on Dave.
Listen, I'm a big Gene Hackman fan, so I'm sure I'd like that movie. I've just never gotten around to watching it.
Dennis Hopper, classic.
Dennis Hopper, too.
Of their 4 through 7 here, so, I love Rocky. League of Their Own's a good movie, but it's way too high. Hoosiers, my family loves. This is one where it's not like... I don't follow my family's lead, like with Mark Wahlberg and all that.
And Rocky.
Yeah, Hoosiers was a good movie, but I don't...
But you didn't play basketball in high school.
I did.
Yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, you did. Oh, okay.
In Indiana.
Like, it's a good movie, but I don't know. It's okay. I didn't really see it as, like, this super classic. But, like, Tim, Fat, Bridge, Goo all love that movie. I think it's just a pretty good, okay movie.
I think if you're like a coach, you appreciate it.
I could see that.
Oh, yeah. Come on, John. You coached some CYO in your time.
I did coach CYO in my time, and I loved it. But I don't know.
And then we go through some other movies here that I've never seen also, except for Karate Kid, but I don't even...
Is that a
sports movie?
Yeah, you don't watch Karate Kid for the movie. You watch it for like the last like 5 minutes and like that, you know.
And for the soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's got that You're the Best Around song.
So we got Eight Men Out,
Chariots.
Chariots on Fire,
there we go.
The Karate Kid, Miracle, National Velvet. I haven't even heard of that.
It's from 1944. And it's an equestrian drama.
Yeah, boo.
And then, so now at 15 and 16, you've got Caddyshack and Slapshot.
Awesome, hilarious movies.
You know, so you've got two. And again, I wouldn't really classify Caddyshack as a sports movie. Like, golf was just like the backdrop of that movie.
I agree.
The golf wasn't the focus of it, but I love that movie.
I agree.
It's one of the most quotable movies of all time.
Yeah.
Rodney Dangerfield is...
I just love when he's like, "Hey!"
Yeah, he's great.
So what? So let's dance! He's got
Slapshot's good.
Yeah, Slapshot is...
I like The Natural a lot.
That's another one I've seen, like, half of it.
Yeah, I've only seen it once. It's good.
I'm a huge baseball fan, so I'm kind of...
Yeah.
Rudy's great.
And then we've got Rudy. I don't like Rudy.
I mean, he's a jerk in real life, but I don't know. I thought the movie was awesome.
I liked it the first time I saw it when I was a kid, but like, as you hear about what the actual story was and how it's the opposite of the movie Rudy, I can't like it anymore.
Well, yeah,
like that whole
Joe Montana hates him.
You know who really got screwed over by that movie was the coach,
Dan Devine.
Yeah. That thing that happened where he refused to play him and all the guys came in and gave up their jerseys so Rudy could play, never happened. He decided to play Rudy, and they make this movie, and they make him look like a complete asshole.
It's true. That guy,
he's like, what? Rudy was the one that nobody liked, not me. I played him.
It was the same actor who played that, like,
he
veteran.
Eddie Harris.
He played Eddie Harris
League.
in Major League.
Yeah.
I love Eddie
Major Harris. League. See, Major League, I would throw up there if you're
a Cleveland fan.
Like, I would throw up there with Caddyshack and Slapshot. Possibly ahead of it, but, we talked about this a little bit before the show. I think being from Cleveland, it gets a little bit of a bump.
Yeah.
If you're from anywhere else in the country, it does just get grouped right in with those ones. You know, us, we're going to put it a little bit higher.
Okay, do you remember Joe Charbonneau?
Yeah.
The guy that, like, opened the beer bottles with his eyes, sockets? Okay, I went to his baseball camp. The very first time I saw Major League was when I was maybe, like, 10, and he's showing me an R-rated movie because it was raining outside. I was so happy. Like, he was just talking about how great these people were. He's like, I love Cleveland. You should love Cleveland. You're like, boom, open my box. Like, but, yeah, I love Major League more than anything. Like,
And I have friends who say, like, Major League 2 was like a travesty. I still liked Major League 2.
It's not bad, but it's nothing compared to the first one.
It's not nearly as good. And but Major League Back to the Minors, of course, I never saw that.
I saw that in the theater.
You saw it?
I saw it in the theater.
Are you serious?
Who did you see it with?
With Gerd.
Oh, no way.
I said nothing to do with the Indians and Ted McGinley. A pass.
Wasn't Scott Bakula in that movie?
I think he was.
I love Scott Bakula.
Yeah, he was.
But yeah,
it's like so, it's about the Twins minor leagues. Hell no.
Yeah, but then they play against the Major League Twins, which is run by Roger Dorn. Somehow
it should be.
That movie is a travesty.
Yeah, it's not good. And there was brief rumors that they were going to make a fourth one, and all the like Charlie Sheen was going to come back, but that died out quickly after Charlie Sheen went crazy.
He likes drugs.
He sure does. But yeah, the first time I saw that movie, the first time I remember seeing that movie, it was on TV. So like, and it was before they dubbed stuff. So they would just like, or no, they would dub stuff. Now they just, you know, there's just silence.
Yeah, it's just silence.
But they used to try to just like throw words in that kind of looked like what they were saying. So I remember the only thing I remember was that locker room scene when Charlie Sheen finds out he wasn't cut, and he goes in and tackles Dorn, and he's just yelling back and forth, dropping F-bombs everywhere. And I was watching it at my grandparents' house. Like, it was my grandparents and my parents were over there.
Yeah.
And that started happening, and it was, even though it was like dubbed over,
yeah,
I knew that they were saying things I wasn't supposed to hear, and I think somebody covered my ears.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I guess I'm not supposed to see this movie. And then I never actually sat down and watched it. Like, I finally got, like, the VHS of it when I was in high school.
Yeah, when we were young, they put some risque stuff. I remember watching, like, USA, and they had, like, silk stockings and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember, like, trying to, like, hide it from my parents because, like, I'm like, man, I found something good. But I don't think my parents will like this.
I remember the, like, Major League I saw over my grandparents' house, or I saw part of it. I also remember them watching, like, Goodfellas.
Yeah,
and like The Godfather, and I'm like, like looking back on it now, I had no idea what was going on because I was, you know, like 6 or 7. But I'm like, you know, that was kind of weird to be watching that with me around, because I don't think they were watching it on TV. I think they were like watching it on video or something. But it was like,
yeah,
when you're a little kid and you don't really know what's going on, but you know, like it's something you're not really supposed to see, and your parents are there, you're like, I feel weird.
Yeah. A quick take, just looking at this list, The Longest Yard, I don't think they should remake, like, anything, ever. like that remake with, like, Exhibit, like, yeah, that was, that's better off, like,
and,
for
Adam Sandler. Nelly was the back.
Yeah.
And Stone Cold was, like, the biggest racist in the world. Like, hey, you murderer!
And Tracy Morgan was like a prison wife.
I forgot about that. Oh, man, I forgot that happened.
Yeah.
That was, let's see. Jerry Maguire was good.
That's not a sports movie.
Okay, fair enough. It still was a good movie. I also
thought it was overrated, but it's not a sports movie either.
All right,
but
fair enough. Million Dollar Baby was not good. I didn't like that at all. Seabiscuit,
also not a sports movie. Horse racing is not a sport.
I didn't see The Pride of the Yankees. That's 1942, so I didn't see it. White Man Can't Jump is a fantastic movie. I love that flick. The Longest Yard.
Well, that's like the top 25.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to go. I was joking when I said we were going to go through and list all these.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of scroll through and we'll see if we can.
I like Remember the Titans a lot. I enjoyed that movie.
Never saw
it. Strong Side, Weak Side, Baby.
At that point, I was, like, getting a little old. Remember the Titan? Like, kids these days are, like, love that movie. Like, I was just, like, past that. He Got Game, great movie.
Yeah. Jesus Shelsworth?
Yes.
Yes.
Like Bill Simmons says, I think you cut out the prostitute scenes and you change the ending, it might be one of the top two or three sports movies of all time.
And it's going to shock you.
Like
I've never seen it.
Ray Allen back in, like, he actually was, he was, like, a rookie, and he was
he was a
actor.
Great actor, yeah.
He did a great job. The Wrestler was good, but that's not really a sports movie.
There's that movie Cena. It's a documentary about an indie car driver that was on the list. I haven't watched it yet, but I've heard nothing but great things about it. I'm just throwing that out there for anybody who might
be interested. Major League 43. How is it 43?
because the people who made this with less arm from Cleveland. But it's, even if it, yeah. even if it wasn't about the Indians,
tin cup. Come on,
yeah. Kevin Costner had a nice little run of like romantic comedy slash sports movies.
Yeah,
like For Love of the Game, Tin Cup.
Yeah, he had a couple other ones. I just can't think of.
The Sandlot.
I mean, he was in Field of Dreams.
It was always like Rene Russo and or like Andy McDowell or somebody who was like his like love interest.
The Sandlot at 45 is surprising because that like everybody loves that movie.
Everybody, I don't love it. I think it's okay. I know a lot of people who think that's like one of the best movies ever.
Growing up, The Sandlot
for
was
me,
really
it's
good.
Not,
Cool Runnings was great.
Runnings, feel the rhythm! Feel the rhyme!
Yeah, no, that one's great. Anything with John Candy is
Yeah.
That guy was the man. Happy Gilmore.
I think Friday Night Lights, the movie and the TV show are both phenomenal.
That's good. The Fighter was good, but that's pro wrestling. That's not really a... Like,
no,
I
The
love...
Fighter was boxing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm thinking... What am
wrestler.
I thinking? Yeah, The Wrestler. The Fighter was my boy,
yeah.
Mark Wahlberg. That was a good movie.
It was good.
Mark.
Moneyball was really good.
I think Moneyball was all right.
I enjoyed it just because it kind of explained like what they were doing to put the A's together.
Yeah. I still thought it was like a little elementary. I didn't think they went like in-depth enough, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a nerd on that.
I don't know what the freshman... Oh, 1925. That's why.
All right. Let's see. We'll only talk about a couple more here.
The Rookie! Yes!
The Rookie. Yeah. I saw that movie in the theater.
You enjoyed it.
No, I didn't.
I never saw The Rookie.
Whoa! What?
But Rookie of the Year was great. Henry Baumgartner.
Rookie of the Year. I think that's what you're thinking of, John.
American Pie.
You're thinking of Rookie of the Year, not The Rookie.
Oh, that's not him.
Yeah, no, The Rookie of the Year. Awesome.
The Rookie was
The Rookie.
That's
Funky Butt Lovin'.
Oh!
Did he just say Funky Butt Lovin'?
Yeah, Rookie of the Year is Henry Baumgartner. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair
the
enough.
Rookie is Dennis Quaid. Is like it's based on a story.
Oh, that's not. Yeah.
He was like a teacher who all of a sudden could throw 96 miles. An hour, and he made the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
The best part, the best part of that movie,
in the theater with the girl.
Okay, when he goes to the like speed, the
yeah, like the thing on the road,
yeah, the road trap thing,
and he
for
throws
cops.
It and it says like 74 or something,
yeah,
and then he walks away in the little
it's
thing,
like 90 or whatever.
It's a
I'm
nine,
like, I'm
like boo,
no, boo, exactly. let's see.
Yeah, I remember, like, I was on a double date at that movie, and, like, the girls were crying at the end of it, and I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Who didn't see this coming?
We got Dodgeball, which I love.
Not a sports movie.
And
They're really stretching.
It's funny,
here.
But it's not a sports movie.
Right. Any Given Sunday is fantastic.
Fantastic.
I've only seen that
15.
Once.
Top 10, maybe.
I love that movie.
It's really good.
Hey,
okay.
My name is Willie.
Okay, let me say this. This kind of ties it in. Last week when Manziel was playing, he started calling audibles, and he was yelling at like the receiver and the running back, and they kind of looked like they had no idea what he was saying. I kind of thought he was doing what Willie Beeman was. We were like, dude, that's not a play.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then he just took off running up the middle and scored a touchdown.
The best part of that movie is when he does that, and he's like, get out my playbook! All right, let's see. Blue Chips.
I want to watch Blue Chips
that's
because I love
movie.
Nick Nolte.
You never saw Blue Chips?
No.
Oh, my. You've never seen
see
these,
it.
Like, wow. Yeah, it's good. Penny and Shaq, pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Nick Nolte.
Love and Basketball. I don't like that at all because it's like it's like a guy and a girl. And they're like, oh, let's play 1-on-1 for your heart. It's like a guy would kill a girl in 1-on-1. No, not to be misogynistic, but girls
have
are
you
not
seen women's basketball.
Yeah, women's basketball.
Hey,
is brutal.
Honest, they're very technical, but that's all they got.
Yeah, they're also all like 5'4".
They make bounce passes when it's important.
Right. Mighty Ducks.
Way too low.
Way too low.
Yeah.
And like it says here, it's kind of like the Bad News Bears of hockey, except it's not nearly as vulgar as Bad News Bears.
And they're not dropping
that
ends.
That movie was hilarious. Like the Walter Matthau version, where he's just drunk all the time and he makes them do his work for them. But yeah, Mighty Ducks. That was like...
That's how I enjoyed hockey.
Yeah, that's like the only... that and Slapshot, and then that movie Goon. With
Goon is amazing.
Yeah,
it's
saw Goon.
Not even on this list.
They make good hockey movies, but I just don't like hockey.
I agree.
Did you ever see Coach Carter? I never saw Coach Carter.
I saw Coach Carter. I don't like Coach Carter because there are no missed shots in the entire movie. Like, literally every single time they show a basket, it goes in. And that that just bothers me fundamentally.
You know what I don't get? Like, with the stretches they're making on this list, like, why isn't Teen Wolf on here? Like, Teen Wolf, he played basketball. That was what the majority of what he used his wolf powers for was to win. Teen Wolf was like Air Bud, but with people, because he turned into a werewolf, and they were like, well, we can't stop him from playing. There's no rule against it, even though he has superhuman strength and he's Michael J. Fox and he can dunk.
Yeah. How do you classify whether it's a sports movie? That is a great question.
But I don't. Yeah, where's Air Bud? Air Bud is
not in there.
Or Air Bud Golden Receiver.
They never saw Varsity Blues either.
I love Varsity.
Some movies are just a feel good movie. Like, I could put on Varsity Blues anytime and just like watch it and be like, I love this.
I don't like James Van Der Beek.
Yeah.
No, he did a good job. He was a good guy in that movie. The Beak. Come on, man.
Yeah,
I'll just watch like The Fifth Element and Starship Troopers for the 100th time each.
Leatherhead was okay. I didn't really like that. Clooney, like, it was whatever.
I never saw it.
Yeah. The Waterboy was okay.
I think they left off Teen Wolf, and I think they left off, Mighty Ducks was way too low.
The cable guy, they played basketball in the movie.
Yeah, but let's not get carried
cable
away.
Cable guy!
I have a theory that cable guy is universally very underrated, because I think that movie's hilarious.
You know what? I keep hearing cable guy is underrated, and every time I've tried to watch it, I go, I think it's accurately rated.
Oh, Richard Hooligan, have ranked in there?
Yeah, it's not a... Like, that's a movie about sports fans.
Yeah.
It's not even about sports.
Like, it's a good movie.
Do they even show any soccer in it? Or is it just
for
like
moments?
Fights?
It was like moments of it, but it was basically like, I just remember the scene where he puts the credit card in his mouth and like cuts his lips. So like,
yeah, it wasn't it's not a sports movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, throw something better in there.
Yeah.
Step your game up, movie phone. All right. I think that
pretty much
we'll do it, unless we have anything else.
Did you ever see Comebacks? I've never seen this movie, and it's got like the dude from Anchorman in it.
What? Where?
Comebacks. I never saw
it. Yeah, no, that can't be good.
You know, it's a great movie though. The one where Sinbad's like the linebacker and Scott Bakula is the quarterback.
Holy cow! What's this?
Oh. Is that the one where Rick Moranis?
No,
is
it's
he
not.
In
it's
that
not
too?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
No, there's one where like. No, I'm thinking of a different movie, though.
Necessary Roughness.
Is that where they had Kathy Ireland as
the kicker? Yeah, Kathy Ireland's the kicker. Great movie. Go back and watch Necessary Roughness.
There was the one where, Kurt Russell's the quarterback.
Oh, the program.
And
is that the one where they're laying on the street?
No.
The one I'm thinking of is, like, they get all these guys that used to play football in high school, and they're like older guys now, and they make them come back and they play against maybe even like the current high school team. I don't really know, but like Rick Moranis is a receiver and Kurt Russell's the quarterback.
This sounds like I have to see it. It just sounds utterly ridiculous.
Oh, it's terrible.
No, but The Program might be one of my favorite movies. Just throwing that out there.
What happened? Like, I remember liking it. I just don't
remember. No, remember, like, that big Latimer guy gets roid rage and he, like, throws that girl across the room? Yeah.
That's a good movie.
And, like, Omar Epps can't fumble and he has to, like, hold the football around campus.
He walks around and he's got
The Program's really good.
A good flick.
And the guy from, A River Runs Through It, I forget the actor's name, is the quarterback. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
You never seen God, just please watch The Program. God, Dave has seen no sports. I mean, if we talked about like action movies, Dave would like blow.
Oh, I totally remember.
Oh, yeah.
This was a great movie.
Yeah, James Caan is the coach.
Halle Berry,
Joey Lauren Adams. This is honestly a gem. This is a must see. Maybe more so than Field of Dreams, just because of the.
All right,
it's place in.
If it's on, well,
I have it. I'll let you borrow it.
I feel like that era of our chat from like 87 to like 96. I mean, we have to like be well versed on stuff.
Well, no, because like in 1993, I was 9 or 10 years old, I don't think the program would have been on my radar. I'd be like, true. Let's watch Ninja Turtles.
I enjoyed that Ninja Rap.
And Ghostbusters.
What was the one where they laid in the street and they like had to cut that scene out?
Oh yeah, because kids started doing it. I don't remember what
movie,
it is. But
Dead Poets Society?
No, they were standing on desks in that one.
Okay. Oh, Captain, my Captain? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember.
Sorry.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember what it is. So yeah, I think that'll do it for this episode. Well, we're over an hour. I mean, we're at an hour 15. So, that's...
Moral of the story, Dave needs to see more movies.
I guess so. I need to see more non-sports comedies. So, thanks for listening, everybody. We should be back to our regular schedule coming up here, you know, a weekday, so we can actually talk about stuff before it's going to happen. So, yeah, thanks for listening to There's Always Next Year, facebook.com/TANextYear, at TANY Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes. Tell your friends, family, your pets. No, just leave it. Just put it on and let your dog listen to it.
We enjoy people listening to us.
I don't even care if anybody listens. Just hit play and walk away.
Yeah, we got some. We got a few that haven't gone away yet. As long as somebody's listening, we'll still be here to provide you content.
I guess so. So, until next time, I'm Dave for Joe and John. Thanks again for listening, and we will catch you in probably a week and a half. All right, bye.